I preached last time. Who remembers what I preached last time I came?
Expecting.
Are you expecting? Nigel wrote to me and said, what was the title? So I had to write back and just say, are you expecting? And then when I finished, Andrew came up to me and said, oh, you know, part two, sort of. So part two is, I've got something in me that's got to come out. Well, are you expecting? Second part, I've got something in me that's just got to come out. Because it was good what you said, because there is something in each one of us that the Holy Spirit wants to bring out. You have got more in you than you are willing to acknowledge. We've been raised to be kind of modest and all, but you have a treasure in earthen vessels. God put the treasure in there. It's God's treasure that he chooses to put it in earthen vessels. So in our this humility of ours, sometimes we do God a disservice. I'm so humble, I am so very humble. If you're not careful, you do God a disservice. The surpassing excellencies is his. The glory goes to him. Unto him shall the gathering of the peoples be. It's God's glory. But he chooses to work through. That's God's choice. So if God makes that choice, really in a way, he must see something in you, or put something in you, or work something through you, depending how you want to get there, that's of great value. So we're going to have a quick kind of recap from where we were last time, and then we're going to go, hopefully, that you've got something in you that wants to come out. Alright, so we're going to start with Psalm 27. Psalm 27 and verse 13 says, I would have lost heart unless I would have believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land or in the blue by and by. Well, let's be honest, we sing these songs like, it's true. You know, we've no longer been in pain, any more sorrow, any more tears, any more separation. This old body of ours will not have its aches and pains and its creaks and groans. We will just have a time in the heavens.
Hallelujah.
But I personally believe that I will see the goodness of God. I'm going to get to the next verse. Verse 14. No. Psalm 27, verse 3 says, I will faint unless I believe I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. But verse 14 says this. There, that's what it says. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, for he shall strengthen your heart. Wait on the Lord, I say. I would have lost heart unless I believed I would have seen the goodness of God in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord. Be encouraged. Remember that's what we said, that we had got something in us. God, you want a good one from Spurgeon? We met Spurgeon this morning. Remember, this is Charles Haddon. He says this: I would have lost heart unless I believed I would have I would see the goodness of God in the land of the living. He says, we want to see that we might believe we will see the goodness of God in the land of the living. But the Bible says we believe before we see. Pregnant, I'm going to have a baby. Have you seen that baby?
No.
No, but you believe you are going to see. I think I'm right. My biology's not that brilliant, but... Thomas, I'm going to preach for you today. I can see this coat's going to go flying in. Thomas. So Jesus appears to the disciple. Yeah. Thomas walks back in the room. Unless I can see, unless I can put my hand, unless I've got some physical manifestation of this thing, I will not believe. But my friend, if you've got the physical manifestation, why are you believing? Who believes what he has? It's just pointless. So believe him before you see him. Ready? Where am I going this morning? Galatians chapter 6, verse 9 says this. That one. Am I getting old or what? There you go. Listen to this. In due season, you shall reap. If. Together? If you do not lose heart. I would have lost heart unless I believed. In due season you shall reap if you don't lose heart. Roll them all together. Us keeping faith brings a manifestation of what God has placed in our heart. God, I want to speak to you about the word that God has spoken to you a number of years ago, a number of months ago, a number of weeks ago, this morning. You get this revelation from the Spirit of God. I'm not talking about pizza dreams, and you know, those kind of had a curry last night and our son are going to be the Pope or whatever. You know, I'm not talking about that strange stuff. I'm talking about genuinely, you know, you heard from God. But somehow along the line, circumstances, situations, things have happened, and we begin to lose heart. That famous saying, my heart's not in it anymore. Then I'm going to tell you something, you will not reap. I would have reaped if I hadn't lost heart. I would have lost heart if I had not believed. So what we believe determines what pops out. Let's look at there somewhere. So what is the source of my expectation? 2 Peter 1:4. We have received these great and precious promises. Great in their scope, precious in their value. See, God says something to you and you think, man, that's just... probably is. I remember when I was saved, now... that was a lot of years ago. If you said to me, through God's graciousness, I would have seen this, 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 and this, I would have said, you're putting my leg. You're putting your. I couldn't see anything in me other than that God made me just love something like me. My testimony was all, in my testimony, the night I got saved, who wants to hear a good sinner's prayer? Yeah, if you can do anything with this, you're welcome to it. That was the great sinner's prayer. That was my great self-esteem. I knew what I was. I knew I was a sinner. I knew I was a mess. I knew I was away from God. I knew I was just useless and broken. And then suddenly I heard this gospel. And God spoke into my life. Another one of these ones. Where's we going on? Proverbs chapter 3, verses 27, 28. Do not withhold good from those to whom it is due when it is in your power to do it. Do not say to them, come again tomorrow when you have it with you today. And that was my call to ministry. I knew I'd received something from God. I knew I'd been saved. I was baptized in the Holy Ghost the night I believed. Praise God. I believe in speaking in tongues. I believe in the indwelling, empowering, enabling of the Holy Spirit. And I believe the best is yet to come. 72 years of age and excited about the future. And then heaven on the back end of it. Does it get any better? That's the truth of it, isn't it? If we go, if we're not excited about this walk of faith, in this adventure, let's be honest. I could tell you story after story. Who wants to go to Israel? Who's not been there yet? Yeah? Who wants to go for nothing? Who wants to go all expenses paid? Who wants to go with this American organisation that just, they travel, Americans travel well?
Yeah.
I believe I will see the goodness of God in the land of heaven. Oh, that's another story. My wife and I. We have got great and precious promises about the kingdom of God. God has spoken over our lives. He called me with purpose. He called you with purpose. He don't need numbers. Only church counts numbers. God don't. He don't need numbers. He don't get lonely in heaven. He's a complete being. You know, oh, maybe save myself and keep him company. He don't need company. He's God. He saved you for a purpose. And the reason you are here is for a purpose. I think it was John Wesley who said, Lord, don't let me live to be useless. Paul put it like this, as long as I remain in this body, fruitful labour, I've got a job to do. I'd sooner be gone, absent from the body, present with the Lord. But for your sake, I'm hanging around it. Why? Because I've got a purpose and you have got a purpose. There's something in you. I'm speaking to you today, not as your pastor, but as a friend. There's more in you than you see. And God has spoken over your life and he has spoken purpose and destiny.
Yes.
How did I know that? Because the word of God was spoken over my life and he has spoken over your life. Psalm 130 verse... I always get confused on this one. I could say 105, my words are lamp unto my feet, or I could say verse 86. But the spirit of the man is carrying the law, but I'm going to say Psalm 119, verse 130. The entrance of your word does what? Brings light. Suddenly, there you are, and the light goes on. Who's ever thought a dream is bigger than you? I'm talking about, I've got something in your strength that's bigger than you. See, when God gives you something, it's always going to be bigger than you. It's costly, isn't it? Because if you could do it, why do you need God? So when God speaks into your life, when he speaks destiny and purpose into your life, he speaks something that's bigger than you. That's why it's a challenge to believe, isn't it? Because it's bigger than us. But in due season, shall we? If you don't give up. The entrance of your word brings light. John 17, 17, Jesus said this, Father, sanctify them in the truth. Thy word is truth. Your feelings are truth. Your circumstances are truth. Your conditions are truth. Tell you what is truth? This word is truth. That's why Jesus said in John 8:36, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall what? Make you free. Free from your limitations, free from your expectations, free from your desires, free from your boundaries that you set. Why? Because God, the Almighty, spoke it over your life. And I'm going to say to us more mature ones, it don't end till you go home. I've met so many saints, you know, I've given up along the way. It makes me sad. You know? I want to be the last, you know, if I'm like, well, check, whenever I pop my clocks, may my last breath be, give you know, Jesus. And may it be, God, I still got something to do. You're sure you want something else?
Yeah.
Let's live with an excitement. It's easy to be bored. It's even easier to be boring. Anyway, moving on away from that one. Romans 10:17 says this. Faith comes by
hearing.
Not listening to Oprah. Is she still around? Well, she made all her money and done a boat. Faith comes by. Where does this vision come from? How does God? mature, as it grow, as it feed, as we meditate on this word. That word meditate, chew, like a cow chewing a cud. It don't mean in 2 minutes. It actually means to chew it like a chewing a cud. That's why a cow's got 7 stomachs. It takes it a while to work its way around. Lesson as well as we go along today. Now I'm going to throw out another scripture just to upset you. Well, a nice one is Mark 9:28. If you can believe. Mrs. Stroud, how's that finished? See, she's good, isn't she? If you can believe. The word that I have spoken to you, then all things that I have spoken to you become possible if you will believe that I have spoken it to you and not lose heart. Not give up. Not let it go. The praying mother. You know the story of the praying mother? This guy said he was raised in church, living well. And he said, every night he'd come home, I thought, every morning he'd come home, you know, having done whatever he's been doing. And he'd hear his own mother praying for him. And the prayer went like this. You know that I know that you know. No, they went, I know that you know that I know. Did you get that one, or is it a bit too profound? I know that you know that I know that I shall reap in due season if I do not lose. I know that you know that I cannot lose. That this is the victory that overcomes the world, even my faith. Always leaves me in triumph. Even when you're going through, somehow I've got to leave you in triumph. It's the Bible says it. Even an apparent defeat, God is leaving you in triumph. Otherwise, that makes sense. You can have that side. We sang it today when I walked through the valley. Praise God, you said it actually. We don't stay in the valley, we go through the valley. Some people live in the valley, build a house in the valley. How are you doing today, Terry? What's wrong? Under the circumstances. Get out from under the circumstances. I'm glad you love me. All right. Oh, that's the scripture I was going to say you don't like. Ready? Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 2. That can't be right. Who knows the story of Joshua? Some stand still. I heard. No, that's fine. The word that they heard, remember I told you how it all comes? By the word my word shall not return to me void, but shall cut the shaft which is sent across the land. So God sends a word. He responds to it. But the word that they heard did not profit them, not being mixed with faith. They heard it, they didn't receive it. Now if you want to go to Mark 4, it talks about Jesus being a soul, a sign of seed. And some seed fell on hard ground because it couldn't find any entrance. That's my illustration, not being mixed with faith. It did them no good at all. Psalm 107 verse 20 says this. He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destruction. That's what it says. 20 and 21. God sent the word of healing and deliverance. Why? Genesis 1:11 says everything produced after its kind. So God sent them a word of healing. They received the word of healing. The fruit of healing was they were healed. God sent the word of deliverance.
you receive the word of deliverance, it produces.
Oh, it sounds really profound. The seed is sown in the womb of the heart and produces fruit.
Good. All right, so far. Do you want to know about biology? How did you get saved?
Not the evangelist told you this, or the preacher told you that, or your mother prayed for you, or you read your Bible, or how did you get saved? Well, Ken, I thought you'd never ask. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23. And then we're going to get back to what we're supposed to be preaching, all right? Now, this is intro. 1 Peter 1, 23 says, having been born again, not of corruptible seed, back to out being pregnant, back to are you expecting, back to I've got something in me that wants to come out. Not, ready? You weren't born again of corruptible seed, but incorruptible, which is through the word of God that lives and abides forever. Hebrews chapter 4 verse 12 says the word of God is alive and active, sharper than its edged sword. How did you get born again? The seed was sown in the womb of the human heart. You believed it and it produced salvation. Every time what happens is a seed is sown and it produces. Very quickly now, I'm going to have to preach this for you, put my Bible down. 1 Kings chapter 17, very quickly. Before we go there, we'll go to James chapter 5, verses 16 and 17, I think. Let me have a look. I've got to read my notes now. Yeah. James chapter 5 verses 17 and 18 says this. Because this is a good one. I always like this beginning. James was changed. Elijah was a man of like passions. He was human like you and me. And when he prayed, he didn't pray. It didn't rain for 3.5 years. That's what it says, isn't it? For the fervent affection of prayer of a righteous man availeth much. So he's a man of like passions. He was human, like you and I. But he prayed for 3.5 years and he did not run. Now go over to 1 Kings 17. And you can start with verse 1. And it talks about Elijah being a Tishbite. And he turns up and he says this. Ready? Here. As the Lord God of Israel lives, before whom I stand, there shall not be rain, dew nor rain, for these years, except by my word. Now I'm going to tell you something. I sat down, I can understand that. You're going to think, I've just confirmed what you know, I'm pretty thick. I couldn't understand that. And my reason for saying that is this. If God had pronounced the drought, the prophet came out and said there's going to be a drought, why on earth did he pray? God's already said it.
So God did what he prayed. You're almost right. It doesn't make sense if you think about it. When God spoke, creation happened. Yeah. When God spoke, it happened. Because you pray, you've got to wonder then why on earth am I praying? I'm fed up with being about the something of God sometimes. If God wants you to be sick, you can be sick, because he's sovereign. to the platform. Alright, I suppose we better tell you what the answer is, isn't I?
Honestly, for the moment, I just sat there, I can work it out. But for those of you who read the contemporary English version, because sometimes you get a scripture and you don't understand it, it's always good to look somewhere else. Elijah, exactly what you said, but word of advice. Elijah was just as human as we are. And for 3.5 years, his prayers kept rain from falling. That we get involved actively in bringing God's purposes into the earth. That's why you pray for your neighbours. It's not God's will that any man should perish. But you pray for your neighbours, bringing God's purposes into the earth. I'm not that kind of excited now, because remember what you've got in you, you've got to bring it in. There's something in me that wants to come out. You're going to start praying, and what's in you will start coming out. And then you will start, I've been carrying this thing for a long while. Or the other one is, I'm doing that. Oh, I'll be back. Some of you have been carrying this for a long while, and now it's out. I'm going to tell you how to get it out. I'm sort of looking over my shoulder at the clock, so I need to be quite quick with you. Whatsoever, Mark 11:23-24, you all know it's one of my favourite scriptures. If you come from a theological background that I do, that's kind of the text we have stamped on our heads. When you stand praying, believe that you have received, and you will have whatsoever you say. Now, that's so dangerous, because people start praying strange stuff. So let's go back. What is the seed? The word. Where is that seed been sown? In my heart. What do I do now? Believe I have received and start praying what I believe I have received. And guess what? It starts working its way out. It has to have a season. It's gestation, the correct word. Get in there. Biology, what? As it has that period of growing. But in the fullness of time, get this revelation. You need to start praying it into being. For time's sake. 1 Kings 17. Is it around about verse 42? No? Yes, there is. 1 Kings. I need the bit where. All right, we'll go to 1 Kings 18:1. Pardon me. Now it came to pass after many days that the word of the Lord. Now, hang on. How did he pronounce the drought? The word of the Lord came to him. Yeah? After 3.5 years, the word of the Lord comes to him again. Now he's been praying for this thing. Watch. And And after that, after many days, the word of the Lord came to Elijah on the third year, saying, go present yourself to Ahab, and I will send rain on the earth. So he had birthed the drought. But now God's saying, that period's finished in your life. No one periods in your life are finished. Which I don't have time to talk to you about that one. So now he's been sent out with a word. But ready? Before his birth, there were some things to be accomplished. Huh?
think our listeners are made today, because you can go home and think, 1 Kings 17:18. From that place where he's met with God, what's he do next? Before he prays, declares the trap's over. He bumps into Ahab, he summons all the prophets of Baal, because now Israel's in idolatry. He summons all the prophets. That's what it says. Sometimes I'm having a sticker in my head. Summons the people of Israel to Mount Carmel. Summons the prophets of Baal and Asherah. Then he says, come on, let's have a little shoes go through the dark. Remember that one? Then the God who answers by fire, let him be God. So they do their business and they cut themselves and all their business. He just proves it's God, he has it, all the offering water poured over it, and so the trench is filled up with water and everything else. This is the quick version. And then he prays, and the fire falls and consumes the offering on the altar. Then he slays all the prophets of God. You need to read your Bible. And I'm not even going to read the scriptures, but time's out of the hour. Why was the drought there in the first place? Because of their idolatry. Remember God had said, when you return to idol, the heavens will become like glass. So the drought was judgment. Once the land had been cleansed, then God can pour his revival. That's what it says. Maybe in our life sometimes things need to be put out of the way before the word of God can transform them up. Last of them, and I'm going to have to do another verse, but it's on love. So now it comes up to the king. He says to the king, here. Because that's how he's right. He came with his head in the dishpan. Yeah, get in the chariot. Why? For I hear the sound of the abundance of rain. Listen to me. You hear it in your spirit before you hear it in the natural. And if you want me to prove that to you, I can go to Matthew Henry's, who's got a profound comment about it. You can look it up when you get home, it's in my notes. Or Barnes commentary, where he has this intonation or something's going on. Anyway, I'm not going weird. You get it in your spirit before it's a manifestation. Because I've got something in me really that wants to come out. Right. So what's the next thing he does? He goes up on the hill, sticks his head between his knees. Now, for those of you who want to be really profound, there's two meanings to this. One is he sat on his bottom, pulled his legs, between his legs. Sat on his bottom, pulled his knees up, puts his face between his knees. That's the traditional praying position, by the way. The other one I remember really years ago, it's a birthing position. So sometimes, ready? What's in me is going to come out. He goes to pray and births what is in him. Maybe what's in you isn't coming out because you're not pushing it out by prayer. I'm glad I'm a man. I've been there all three of my babies. And that poor middle. Push, 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 push. You need to do a bit more pushing to get out of you what's in you, the purposes of God. Yeah. I push quite some day up. Stick with me, ladies. Ladies, look at me. Alright. Sometimes you have to push out to me. I wish I had more time to talk to you about. So he sends his servant up and says, hey, I'm coming. And the servant comes back and says, eh, you've got it wrong this time, Michael. Remember? How many times he said to the servant, servant, have you got good shirt? What is seven in the Bible? The number of meaningless. Why did the servant go seven times? Because there is a period of gestation. There is a period of these things coming. For it says this, that the son goes off, comes back to the man is now. Comes back the seventh time, he says, tell you what, I see a cloud. Besides the man, listen to me, despise not the day. You want to say, God, take one. Ask for the Lord rain in the season of rain. Hey, God, if it's going to rain, why am I asking for rain? Exactly the same way. Despite the first 4 minutes. So then, what does it say there? It says, the skies get darkened, and there's the sound. What I try to say to you today, in a sense, is very clear that there's something in you that you will need to virtually expose to embrace. And women, if you're pregnant, you can deny it as many times as you like, but if you're pregnant, you're pregnant. Do it. Now, it's going to wait. Don't worry about that. If you are pregnant, you are pregnant. The question is, what are you going to do? Because I believe as we start praying in this congregation, I believe there's a word in this congregation that you're going to grow, but you need to start birthing it. Not just how are we going to grow. Maybe some of you, you know, we don't talk about fasting anymore, it's like a dirty word. But maybe if you want to say L, you might have seasons of prayer and fasting, no? Or maybe, I don't know what the vision is, but I know this. Habakkuk chapter 2. No, it tarries. It will surely come. For the vision has its appointed time. You've seen it, you know you've got it, and now it's time to start. Take that position. And what's the saying? You've got to stick your knees between them. Stick your knees between your head. Stick your head between your knees. I'm saying, start taking that position. What about the neighbour of yours who needs salvation? I will not let you go unless you bless me. I'm not letting you go unless that word that you've spoken out of my life. I know you've spoken, I'm not talking about my imagination. I know you've spoken it. And I will not let you go until you fulfill that word. Is that enough for you? You can go home and enjoy your lunch. After lunch, we let you sleep. 1 Kings 17:18. There is absolute God. And that won't provoke you to pray. I'm not the best prayer in the world. But I'm getting changed more and more. If we're going to see the purposes of God in our own life, in our generation, and in our congregations, we're going to need to pray. What about if we pray for more of God? Thank you for the baptism and the Holy Ghost. And you say it's my power to witness. I'm going to tell somebody that. I want them to look at my life and see someone who's got something from God in their life. I want my words to come to the heart. It's by your spirit you speak. That's what we should. the names of the people I pray. I pray. Ah, lay that one here. If the past may pray me straight, I leave that one here. Merry Christmas. No, seriously, because I don't say that as always, we've been singing. It's your problem, and then we'll do the business. All right, Father God, I can't even come to play this one. Why don't you come to play the microphone? You're lovely.